Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. No need to adjust your radio because I'm back. Man, I've missed being on the air with you guys all last week, but praise be to God that he's brought my wife and I back to the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave, safe, and sound. Most of you, not all, but most of you right now making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, as you make that transition, I'd encourage you to do so with full intentionality. Some may ask, why are you describing this as part-time work versus full-time work? It's just a little something I do to depict the contrast. What I say is our part-time jobs is what we do outside of our homes to generate an income, most of us. Some of us are able to do so from home, but most of us do that outside of our homes, our full-time jobs. Our full-time jobs are what we do once we punch out of that part-time work. Namely, or chiefly among our full-time jobs, is the context that God has given us through family, in which, or through which, the context of family, through which we discharge our faithfulness to our God by serving our families and ministering to our families well. And I know that there are some of us, because I get messages, say, hey, don't forget about us. Some of us are going to our part-time jobs at this time of day. And that's true. That's true. So I don't want to overlook that. But I simply want to encourage you to have the proper understanding, a proper biblical understanding, that serving our families is ministry. All too often, we think ministry is ministry consists of whatever we do outside of our families. And I'm saying, no. If we would look honestly at what's happening in our country, and I mean, some of us saw the degradation at halftime of the football game yesterday. I mean, goodness gracious. And you know, the world is going world. I'm not surprised when the world worlds, but can we, I mean, 2004, when Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction, many of us thought that was beyond the pale. But now, forget a wardrobe malfunction, it's an intentional wardrobe malfunction, accompanied with thrusts and gestures and the whole nine yards. And so the very simple thing is, look, if we would be honest, they wouldn't show what we wouldn't watch. The reason why that stuff happens is because people watch it. The reason why there's a pornography industry. Think about that. You have rank and unabashed fornication, debauchery. And it's been made into an industry because people pay to see it. If people wouldn't pay for it, it wouldn't exist. I know it's tight, but it's right. So all I'm saying is that phenomenon that we're witnessing, the moral depravity being brought mainstream in our country, you know what? All of the people that are involved, they grew up in somebody's families. We think about culture as being this disembodied anathema floating around, when the reality is culture is comprised by what we, the people, desire. We create culture. And I know a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, is a minority, but let's not mince words about this. This is what's being created by the people in our nation. That's what people want to see. So what I'm saying is, instead of being a victim of a debauched culture, create your own culture in your family. Establish what you want, what you don't want, what your children will gravitate toward, what they will reject, by starting in your home. Straight up. Praise God. Well, I'm excited. You can tell. I've been gone for a week. My wife and I were in India, and we accompanied J.J. Jasper and his daughter. Man, what a blessing they are. I never got to spend as much time with them as I did this week. Oh, man, what a blessing. I mean, his young teenage daughter, I'm not going to put her out there too much, but it is amazing to see when a young child has been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that has their head on straight and has the wisdom of God percolating through them. And seeing them articulate the virtues of our faith, man, it's a blessing. What a blessing it is. I have a lot to say about that. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about that. I won't spend the whole time talking about the observation is in India, but I can tell you this. The scriptures that I'm going to share today really are a reaction, or let me say it this way, or continue to reverberate in my heart as I was going through the streets of India, and not in just the major metropolitan areas like Mumbai and other places, but in the far rural areas, seeing the type of poverty that most Americans can't even fathom. But then you see, you travel a few steps and you see these elaborate houses for their gods on the side of the road. You know, I know, Jeff, you were there. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you have all kind of idols, and they even have these elaborate huts and all of this festive decorations right in the midst of abject poverty. You say, man, they sure ain't sparing any expense on their idols. You know, this passage, and I'm going to refer to two, came immediately to my heart. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. And then I'm going to go over as well. I'll refer to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says this. The purpose or counsel in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? And I want to pair that with, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says this, verse 11, that the Lord has set eternity. Eternity is set in the hearts of men. Eternity is set in the hearts of men. So what that means, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is that God and his divine benevolence, his omniscience, and his omnipotence, God has hardwired man. Has hardwired man for eternal life. But as Ecclesiastes says, who can know it? Or as Proverbs 20 says, the purpose is the counsel of a man's heart are like deep water. How can you get to what's really in a man's heart? But the Bible says, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. The greatest cry of the soul of mankind is to be reunited with our Heavenly Father. The greatest plea of the heart of man, the greatest need that men have is to be made one with the King of Glory, is to have the doors of eternal life open to them. It's the greatest need. Let us not misconstrue what the greatest needs are. You guys know, coming from my own background, growing up in the hood in New Orleans, I know people have tangible, felt needs, but can I tell you something? What does it profit a man to have a full belly and knock the bottom out of hell? What would it profit a man to, in the middle of a freezing cold, to be given a coat but to be deprived of the gospel? What would it profit a man to grow up in the United States of America with complete freedom and luxury and access to central air and heating and to meals three times a day or six times a day if you want to, but knock the bottom out of a hell? Brothers and sisters, we can't allow ourselves to be distracted. We cannot allow ourselves to be detoured into ancillary matters. Those things are important. Of course I know my children need clothes, but they don't need clothes more than they need the gospel. Not more. And what a shameful father I would be to provide wonderful provision for my children in forms of a heated home in the winter or a cooled home in the summer, and to have clothes and multiple changes of clothing day in, day out, every age that they reach, that they're well provided for, and I deprive them of being disciples of the true and living God. The world would say, what a great father. But can I tell you something? We should not live for the world's evaluations, because there's an evaluation that's coming. I've shared before, the book of Revelation explains it. The Lord let it be laid out for us that on the time when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the book will be opened, the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, in New Orleans, you have a song, I want to be in that number. You know what number I want to be in? And the number of the Lamb's Book of Life. And then John goes on and explains, and then the books will be opened that chronicles all of the details of our lives. The counsel in the man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Let's do our things. Let's work in radio like I'm doing. Let's work where you work in engineering or in teaching or in sanitation engineering or in homemaking or in public education or in higher education or in pulpit ministry. Let's do all that we do, but let's make sure we do so. Engage in politics, but we must do so from an eternal perspective. From an eternal perspective. It's very easy because we're human beings to lose the eternal perspective. That's why the body of Christ is so important. That's why the body of Christ is so important. If Rob sees me going off a little bit, I've shared the story. Shared the story before. One time we had a show and we were done and Jeff stopped me and said, hey, man, you shouldn't have said that. And I said, man, shut up, Jeff. No, I didn't say that. I said, Jeff, you're right, brother. Thank you for that correction. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Jeff loves me. He wouldn't tell me something to try to grandstand on me. He's trying to help me to do a good program. And it's having him having my back, Rob having my back, Marty having my back, enables me to strive to do my best in serving you all through this program. That's how we should be in the body of Christ. So if we see one another getting a little too, hey, man, I'm seeing you see, it seemed like you're getting a little too emotional with the politics there. Yes, do politics, but do it in the name of the Lord, not in the name of your party. Not in the name of the most recent election. Yes, I see you doing business over there, but it seems like you're getting too emotionally attached to your 401k portfolio performance. Getting a little bit too attached to your wealth that is passing away. It's not saying that the wealth is problematic. It's not saying that your possessions are problematic. Have your stuff, but make sure your stuff doesn't have you. The greatest need of man is to know the King of Glory. That's the greatest need, man. That's the greatest need. I have people say, well, you know, Abraham, I'm doing this and I'll get to the gospel. That sounds good. But what if before you get to the gospel, death gets to the one who you wanted to get the gospel to? And listen, I'm not saying come with a fire hose and blow everybody down, but let's not forget what the greatest need is what I'm saying. Eternity is set in the hearts of men. I've heard some complain, you know, Abraham, we're living in a time period where Jesus is not no longer in vogue, but spirituality is. And you know what I say to that? Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Just like the Apostle Paul in Acts 17. You guys are very spiritual. Ooh, that's some person over there want to contort themselves in various yoga poses and get the, you know, the crystals from Sedona, Arizona that has the great energy. Well, talk to them about the true energy. Talk to them about there's a God, the unknown God, as Paul pointed out to them. You got all of these statues over here, but you see this one to this unknown God? Let me talk to you about him. Because see, you're talking about what you've heard of. I'm telling you who I know. I met him, and his name is Jesus. Through him, the heavens and the earth were created. Folks, take advantage of it. Can you not see that the time is getting short? The Lord said, good we be called evil, and evil we call good when? In the last days. Now, I know it's been happening for quite some time in human history. I know, but look at the intensity. Look at how what was previously done in the dark now has been brought on the main stage. I talked to my wife. You guys know my wife is Puerto Rican. And they had people talking about that this is a celebration of Latino culture. And I said, babe, do you resonate with that? You know what my wife said? That does not represent the culture my cultural heritage. You know what that is? Debauchery. There was a time when it was embarrassing for a woman to be connected with striptease. Now, it's Super Bowl halftime. And I have a story, I may get to it. It said, if you have a problem with the Super Bowl halftime show, you're racist. What? What? Folks, we are living in the last days. The Lord, through Apostle Paul, told Timothy, men would be what? Lovers of pleasure. Then what's the next one? Lovers of themselves. You know what that means? Men will change the scale and redefine what is acceptable and what is not acceptable based on how much they love themselves. Folks, we're living in Bible days. So let's forget about the Bible mandate. Today is the day to be about Father's business. The greatest need of man is to know the true and living God. The Lord has set eternity. Every human being is hardwired for eternity. We're hardwired to know that there is more that is real than what I can see. We've been built like that. So since we have the answer, why not give it to them? Why not give it to them? Cry aloud and spare not, because the greatest need of man is Jesus Christ.
The AFA, Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 25th through the 27th. Experts have lined up to help Christians make a difference in our increasingly wicked culture. Dr. Frank Turek.
If there is a God and Jesus rose from the dead, then the God who created the universe out of nothing is Jesus.
John Uhler.
One of the hidden things that few women will talk about is the long-term effects of having had an abortion.
Abraham Hamilton III.
I'm certainly happy that they didn't seek to regulate slavery. Can you imagine, Frederick Douglass? We need to make sure that the chains you put on the slave's neck are not too tight. We're regulating murder. We know it's murder. They know it's murder. We all know it's murder. We just won't call it that. No, it's a woman's right to choose.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church in Tupelo, June 25th through the 27th, includes a children's track as well. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
Do you want to live your Christian life at a deeper level, but don't know how? Do you feel that there's something missing in your walk with Christ? If this describes you, then Wesley Biblical Seminary in Ridgeland, Mississippi is the place for you. I'm Dr. John Oswalt, and we at WBS are committed to giving you a first-class biblical and theological education and taking you beyond information to formation. Check us out, wbs.edu.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. God promises that if we are unjustly condemned, He will, in His time, come to our aid and deliver us from these attacks against us. We are seeing this played out in real time as President Trump's legal team masterfully defends him from false and manufactured accusations. His opponent said he will be impeached for all of history. No, he will be acquitted for all of history. If you have been falsely accused, take heart. God sees, God knows, and He will vindicate you in the eyes of the only people that matter. This will be your heritage as a servant of the Lord.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Oh, I'm so glad to be back. Man, my goodness. Well, as you know, I was in India all last week, and gosh, we spent time with both the women who had been trafficked in the sex trade, as well as their children, ministering to them, serving them. We also spent time with Pastor Eliezer and his wife, Prema, and Rajamundri and Jinga Reddy Gudam. Some of y'all are like, what? You made that up. I didn't. I promise you. I didn't make that up. Yeah. I didn't make it up at all. And just getting to witness the work and participate in what's happening there, man. I have to tell you, listen, the Lord will build His church. Didn't Jesus say that? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Got to spend time with Pastor Eliezer and his wife, and it was almost like you're in the book of Acts, man. I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. The nation of India, I learned a lot, has 1,600 languages. 1,600. They have such ethnic diversity amongst the Indians, and some of it is attributable to the caste system, but that also results in linguistic diversity. You could have a town, you know, they're adjacent to one another, and they speak completely separate languages, and having the gospel carried to these varied people group who have never heard the gospel. Never heard the gospel. Man, it's mind blowing. You would think, because it's easy to either one hand, you know, you're living in America, surely, you know, most people have at some level of exposure to Jesus talk. I'll say it that way. But even though that's diminishing, especially among younger people, and then the other part, like many of you, I've read about things like the 1040 window and unreached people groups. I've read about those things. But as far as my personal, tangible experience with them, I have not had any prior to this particular trip. And to go to a place and to be a part of something like that, man, it's life changing. It's life changing. But I couldn't help but think about some of the things that are happening in our own country and how, you know, I've heard even some artists say, you know, you become excellent in your art form and let the message catch up. Like, what? What kind of foolishness is this? You know, or conceal the gospel. Let's hide it. And then once we get to it, bam, then we'll, I mean, it's like, what's the greatest need, man? The greatest need is for men to know Jesus Christ. The greatest need is for men to be saved. The greatest need. I'll probably talk more about this as time goes on, because I have so many stories. I could take days. You know, like right now, it's about what? It's in the early mornings, 4 something in the morning, something like that right now in India. But man, what an amazing time. But I'm glad to be back here. And I guess I'll just pick up with where I came from, where I kind of alluded to in the first segment. And, you know, I wasn't surprised by the halftime show, you know, the Super Bowl. You know, in fact, because I was recovering from jet lag, I slept for most of the beginning of the game anyway. I was asleep. And I wasn't even going to say anything about this because, like I said, the world is going world. You know, by now, if you don't know, the potential for the halftime show at the Super Bowl to be nasty. I don't know. Where have you been? I mean, if you don't know about that potential, then, you know, shame on you if you don't know about that by now, if you're watching the game. But I came across this article in a publication called Hip Latina. You know, and it hit me because, one, you guys know my wife has Puerto Rican ethnic and cultural heritage. I have Black American ethnic and cultural heritage, and my children have Black American and Puerto Rican ethnic and cultural heritage. So this resonates with me personally. And I came across this, and I said, whoa, that's what we gonna do? This author wrote, quote, "It's pretty laughable to hear the outrage by some white people over the stellar performances of Shakira and Lopez, mainly because if white performers were to do the same thing, they wouldn't have any issue with it," end quote. Say what? So you think that the melanin content is what caused people to have objections to pelvic thrust, crotch grabs, and stripper poles? Really? That's what you're going with? Really? And to say that they don't understand that this was a celebration of culture. And like I said in the first segment, I asked my wife, I said, now, babe, is this? That's like me saying, okay, you ready for this? Bourbon Street is the New Orleanian culture that I want to celebrate. I know. You've heard me on this show say that. No. No. That is, this is lasciviousness on display. But what's happening, folks, what's happening is that in the effort to try to shut you up, that everything is boiled down to these critical race theory, Marxist terms of racism, so that you become tepid in your righteous indignation. No, this don't have anything to do with the skin color of the person doing it. I mean, this is insanity. And I wasn't even going to comment on it, like I said, because the world is going to whirl, but I felt the necessity to comment on it to make sure you don't get caught up in this foolishness. Man, don't let anybody shut you up by saying that you don't know how to appreciate culture. I know too many Puerto Rican people who have objected to this just like me and just like you. Would say, if I want to display my culture, it probably would be absent of crotch grabs and pelvic thrusts in the camera. That's not indicative of the totality of a culture. That's an individual doing a certain thing that they find to be acceptable. Not to be misconstrued with the display of the Puerto Rican flag and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm saying, listen, don't try to make this into something that is not. Don't try to make this into something that is not. And I'm just sick and tired of the foolishness. Just sick and tired of the foolishness. On the one hand, and then this is a question I had. I said, so I'm confused. Y'all got to pick, world, what you want to do? Because I thought we're in the era of Me Too, where we don't want to objectify and to reduce women to being physical objects and to be hypersexualized in public conversation. But if it's done at the Super Bowl, now we're supposed to be okay with it? I mean, y'all got to pick. I'm confused. What you want to do? So you cool with objectification if the women do it voluntarily? But then you have to ask the question. Well, Jay-Z is the one who organized the Super Bowl halftime show, so they're out there gyrating, pelvic thrusting and all at the behest of a man. So maybe what you want to do? let me let you guys in on something, all right? Maybe some people way in the back need to hear this. You ready? You ready for this? Debauchery is debauchery regardless of the skin color of the people participating. Okay? Wickedness is wickedness regardless of the skin color, or let me be more specific, the melanin content that the individual who's engaging in the debauchery has. This is these people, y'all got to pick. You can't have it both ways. Y'all got to pick. Either you want to objectify women or you don't. Or you don't. You got to pick. And I'm just going to tell you guys, as for me and my house, y'all know how we roll. I have a wife. I have two daughters, man. I have two daughters with Hispanic ethnicity and heritage and culture. I intentionally expose my children to arroz con pollo and arroz con gandules and plátanos maduro and maduro frito, the whole nine yards. And we intentionally expose my children to gumbo and crawfish etouffee and the whole nine yards. But my girls need to know that's not something to aspire toward. Just like it wouldn't be something to aspire toward no matter what color skin they might have had. Goodness gracious. And you know, and I'm just one of the major things I'm tired of, I'm tired of Christians being bludgeoned into the rhetorical corner to where we're scared of our own shadows. Oh, I can't say that because that may be insensitive. Listen, you know when you never go wrong? When you go with the Bible. You go with the Word of God and you never go wrong. Somebody asks you, why do you say that? You say, hey, well, let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. I'll tell you why I'm going to this. This is crazy, man. The Bible tells us that we should shun the very appearance of evil. How dare we sit up there and talk about, yeah, that's a great crotch grab we got going on there. Let me keep moving. So much is going on. Man, this clock is extra disrespectful today, maybe because I'm still on Mumbai time. I thought I was at another time period. And we have the Iowa caucuses tonight, and some, it's not like a primary vote. The caucuses are different. It's kind of like a combination of a gym pep rally and student government campaign all wrapped in one, you know. Who do you want? Biden. When do we want him now? Well, Biden is losing. Now we want Bernie. They switch teams, and it's a big mess. Then you also have the conclusion of the Senate trial. Today, closing arguments began. It's been reported by numerous numerous news outlets that the closing arguments are expected to go today, where the House managers for the impeachment from the Democrat House managers are going to offer their closing arguments. Then President Trump's defense team will offer their closing arguments. Then the House managers have an opportunity for rebuttal. Then the senators will be given an opportunity to make speeches from the floor of the Senate in favor or against the removal. And then the ultimate vote on removal will be held on Wednesday. That is what is expected. Prior to me coming back to the States, I had to catch up on a lot of this stuff. They've already voted that they won't be accepting any additional witnesses or anything like that. So that was done already before I got back. So that's coming up. Then you have the President's State of the Union address tomorrow. So many things are happening. But let me do this. I'll go here next. I talked about the impeachment trial. Chris Matthews. You remember him? Remember he got the chill up his leg when Barack Obama got elected? I mean, he's not feeling the chill now. Chris Matthews, host of the Chris Matthews Show on MSNBC. He's not too excited about the field of Democrat candidates, and he's starting to say it out loud. What do you think is going on there? Listen to Chris Matthews with his own words in clip number one.
I'm not happy with this field. I think they got to find a candidate for president that can beat Trump.
And you don't think anybody in this...
I'm looking. I'm still looking.
Still looking.
What's the problem?
Obvious problems. They're all problems. Bernie Sanders is not going to be president of the United States. Okay? And he's finally going to get scrutiny about his whole life, his ideologies, who he root for all his life. Who is this guy ideologically?
Still looking. Still looking. The entire field he's not pleased with. He went on to explain in another part of the of his interview that he's hoping that Michael Bloomberg will bring some sanity. That Michael Bloomberg, billionaire Michael Bloomberg, he's hoping for it to be a one-on-one between Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders. And this comes as Bernie Sanders has surged, if you believe the polls, to the tops of the polls in Iowa and is expected to win the Iowa caucuses tonight. Now, this is hilarious to me. That so the party that is literally socialist is now considering, when I'm saying the party leadership, because I don't think that's an accurate reflection of everybody who's in the party, but the party leadership and the most zealous members of the Democrat Party, they're all about socialism in the opposition to billionaires. And we don't like the billionaires' influence on politics. And now you got people like Chris Matthews resting his hope on the billionaire Michael Bloomberg, who literally bought his way into the election. Go figure. He said, I don't care about any of these primary debates. I don't care about any of these things. I'm just going to put about $100 million down and I'll make it to the caucuses. And the Democrat Party literally changed the rules to allow him to be a particular candidate. This is hilarious to me. All down with the billionaires. And you have a billionaire who literally buys his way into the election. And Chris Matthews is like, that's my one. Oh, man, you can't make this stuff up. And then there's more from Chris Matthews because, man, he is not feeling the burn. Please play clip number two.
I think if it's Bernie, look out for the Democrats, because I think he's certainly, to me, reminiscent of the 1972 campaign where George McGovern, a man of the left, got nominated with a lot of excitement, gave a speech at 2:48 in the morning, got blown away 49 states. It's not probably going to be that bad because the country is truly divided about 50-50, but it's not going to be good if it's Bernie.
It's not going to be good. This Chris Matthews is literally predicting a blowout if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination. This, folks, this is rich. Now, I want to say this, and I alluded to this before. I mentioned this before I went to India. Man, they are savaging Bernie Sanders. You see this? So now you're interested, Chris Matthews, in vetting Bernie. Now. So after you have persuaded those in your party and have made normalized socialism, now you have a problem with Bernie? These people are rich. This is so rich to me. So they're more than willing to use him to get these ideas mainstream, but then they come around and say, but we don't want Bernie. Remember how CNN pounced on Bernie by basically saying that when he was accused, Elizabeth Warren accused him of saying a woman can't be president. They asked Bernie, did he say that? Bernie said no. The CNN moderator then goes on to, in a non-moderating fashion, goes on to say, so Elizabeth Warren, how did you feel when Bernie told you a woman can't be president? Then you had Hillary Clinton saying Bernie can't win. Then she said nobody likes Bernie. Then you had Barack Obama through his surrogates saying Bernie can't win. And now you got Chris Matthews coming out saying, folks, this is something. This is something. I mean, you look at the greatest hits from Bernie Sanders, and maybe I have to get back to this on the other side, but this guy put up the Soviet flag in his office as mayor of Vermont in the 80s, at the height of the Cold War. He adopted a Soviet sister city outside of Moscow and honeymooned there with his second wife. And in 1989, as the West was on the verge of winning the Cold War, Bernie Sanders addressed the national conference of the U.S. Peace Council, which was known as a front for the Communist Party USA, whose members swore an oath not only to the Soviet Union, but to the triumph of Soviet power in the U.S. This is Bernie Sanders, and now y'all want to vet him. Leave.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
This is Amy Wishman at Life Choice Ministries in Manhattan, Kansas. Several board members and donors told me that this banquet was our best banquet ever. Thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
The death of Kobe Bryant. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Basketball superstar Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter and seven others, were killed in a helicopter crash in L.A. This is a horrible tragedy. Families are grieving. Pray that if they haven't put their faith for salvation in Christ, that they would do so and receive the grace God offers to go through a trial like this. For us still living, let us heed what Jesus said after a similar tragedy in his day. Do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for a discussion of the film American Gospel.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. An Indiana worship pastor wrote an anti-Trump hymn attacking the 81% of white evangelical Christians who voted for the president, accusing them of weaponizing religion. Daniel Dietrich, the pastor of arts and worship at South Bend City Church, said he wrote part of the song as an angry middle finger to the listener. He went on to complain about white supremacy, homophobia, transphobia, and sexism. Dietrich accused pro-Trump evangelicals of being lost and leading the sheep to the wolves. It's an odd statement, seeing how President Trump has taken a stand for the unborn, defended religious liberties. Oddly enough, he has not written any worship songs condemning Bernie Sanders or Pete Buttigieg or Elizabeth Warren, who once said that abortion rights is a human right. Daniel Dietrich may self-identify as a worship pastor, but based on his hymn for the 81%, it's not exactly clear who he's worshiping. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm back in studio. So glad to be here. We will open the phone lines this segment. And we'd like to, when we open the phone lines, the topics of conversation are one, the greatest need of man is to know Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the greatest need. Your comments or questions on that are welcome. The second thing is, I'd like to get your reaction. What did you think about the Super Bowl and halftime? I know lots of people saw that or reacting to it a while so across the country, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to do so. We also mentioned, didn't delve into it deeply, but mentioned that the impeachment trial is coming to a close. If you want to discuss that, we can. Also, the Iowa caucuses start tonight. You're welcome to opine on that as well. You know, it was funny thinking about the Super Bowl. You know, Jeb Bush tweeted out that that was the best Super Bowl halftime performance he ever saw. Jeb Bush. Low energy. These guys. Oh, man, these guys. Let me also mention, this is the week. If you haven't marked your calendars, you should. For February 7th and 8th, that's this Friday and Saturday, at Faith Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, I will be participating in the Gospel is Enough conference. It will be focused on the biblical look at the social justice movement. If you are in the area, or if you're willing to travel to the area, it is in the Memphis, Tennessee metropolitan area. Memphis, Tennessee, you're welcome to do so. I'm saying you're welcome to do so. I'd love to see you, love to meet you there. It's going to be a great time. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this particular conference, because this whole idea of social justice, intersectionality, critical theory, critical race theory finding its way into the church, you know, it makes me think about Tertullian's refrain. What has Athens to do with Jerusalem? You know, and it also lets you know that there's nothing new under the sun, because at that time, all the rage, and there's evidence of this from Scripture. Remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians that he didn't come to them in fine-sounding words, but with the simplicity of the gospel and in power. The reason why he said that, because it was a hobby, if you will, for the philosophers in the Grecian culture to want to hear the freshest, latest, newest philosophies. You know, that's what happened on in Athens on Mars Hill when the Stoics and philosophers invited Paul to come and speak. It's like, oh, this is a new philosophy. And they wanted to hear the newest orators and rhetoricians and all of that. And but as Tertullian was converted, that same idea was prevalent then. And he said, listen, I don't need the aid of pagan theories to help me understand the Bible. What has Athens to do with Jerusalem, is what he said. I don't need the professional theorists and orators and sociologists and philosophers and the prognosticators to help me understand Scripture. All I need is the Scripture and the Spirit of God. What has Athens to do with Jerusalem? And the same holds true today. It's an example of as how you know that each generation of believers is going to have to contend for the faith in our generation. Because the stuff we're finding, it's not new. Even though it may be new to you, it's not new. You get what I'm saying? So we will be dealing with that in this conference. I will be there speaking alongside a host of other people: Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker from the Just Thinking podcast, Dr. Lee Brand, Will and Miki Addison. It's going to be in a phenomenal time. So I encourage you to check it out if you can. The website for the conference is gospelisenough.com. Gospelisenough.com. One more thing I want to get to as we go open the phone lines. And again, the phone number, I didn't give the number out. Sorry, guys. Blame it on jet lag. The phone number to call if you want to join the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. The topics of conversation are: the greatest need of man is salvation through Yeshua the Messiah. Second, we talked about the Super Bowl halftime show. What do you think about it? I want to give you an opportunity to weigh in on it. We also talked about the fact that the impeachment trial is coming to a close. The Iowa caucuses are tonight. President Trump's State of the Union address will be tomorrow. What do you expect to hear from the president? What would you like to hear from the president tomorrow at the State of the Union address? And ultimately, we expect to vote on the conclusion of the impeachment trial on Wednesday. I'll mention this one last thing as we go to the get prepared to go to the phone lines. Toward the end of his show today, Rush Limbaugh announced that he has advanced lung cancer. Listen to him in his own words in clip number 3.
This day has been one of the most difficult days in recent memory for me, because I've known this moment was coming in the program today. Now, I'm sure that you all know by now, I really don't like talking about myself. And I don't like making things about me other than in the usual satirical, parodic, joking way. So I have to tell you something today that I wish I didn't have to tell you. I can't help but feel that I'm letting everybody down with this. But the upshot is that I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer.
So you heard Rush Limbaugh say that in his own words. And he also said on the radio, quote, "I told the staff today that I have a deeply personal relationship with God that I do not proselytize about, but I do. And I have been working that relationship tremendously. I'm at the moment experiencing zero symptoms." So he was explaining that he has a relationship with God. Some people may have had questions about that. I didn't know whether or not Rush Limbaugh would have considered himself a Christian or anything like that. But he goes on in the show to explain that he's planning to do the show as often as he can. He's going to get treatment. And some days when he's getting treatment, he won't be able to do the show. But for many people, and I was too young when this was happening, but many people know Rush Limbaugh to be the pioneer and to really breaking the hegemony of regressivism in media. You know, he was like a lone wolf saying that, yo, the things that these people are saying, that's not the only perspective on these issues. There are other opinions. And to date, he has the largest talk radio audience in the history of the genre. You know, his radio audience dwarfs multiple television networks, multiple. So I wanted to give you that tidbit of information. I found it interesting that Rush Limbaugh shared that publicly. And I also found it interesting, and not to be opportunistic, but I find it interesting that the time that he takes to reveal to the world, and some people may listen to a show. I don't listen to a show because I'm doing other stuff generally when this show is on. It's not because I have any beef with him. At times when I was able to, I did listen to his show, but I don't listen to his show, generally speaking. But I find it interesting at the same time he's announcing his sickness, he discusses publicly his relationship with God. Just marinate on that for a second. Just marinate on that for a second. It's interesting how mortality tends to cause people to look into the depths of eternity. And pair that with what I said at the very beginning of the program. To the phone lines we go. We will start in Texas, where Barbara is on the line. Barbara, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Yes, thank you. Before I make a comment about the Super Bowl, I just want to quickly say I briefly saw something about Franklin Graham being banned from, I think it was England, from an evangelistic event of some type. Did you mention that? I didn't hear anything about that today.
I did not mention that today.
Is this old news? Or
That happened while I was in India.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I don't know all the details about it, but I just feel like it's time for people to stand up. And getting back to the Super Bowl, the same thing. My husband and I saw a bit of the previews of what was going to be on the Super Bowl halftime show, and we chose to leave at that time. We were at a Super Bowl party, and everyone was going upstairs to watch the Super Bowl, the halftime show on a big screen. The rest of us had been watching the game on a smaller screen downstairs. And when they all moved upstairs to the larger screen, my husband said, "Are you ready to go?" I said, "I'm ready to go." Neither of us said anything, and maybe we should have, and we politely left. But I just feel like that this is what we need to do instead of being quiet and hush-hush about it. Stand up and speak up like we did with taking a knee. The NFL responded so well to that. Why is it that, and even more than just devoted Christians, I just think conservatives in general do not want their children watching that. I mean, we had children ages 4 through 9 that were there last night, and it's not something I would have wanted anybody to see. Although I didn't see all of it, I only saw the previews, and based on what I've heard, I just can't believe it. I am shocked that more people didn't say, you know what, we didn't watch that, or speak up and say it. I really don't know the way that the NFL thing got moving, but it worked.
Well, Barbara, I'll tell you, the reality is the reason why you didn't have more people speaking up is because we live in a pornographied culture. The pornographication of our culture is so prevalent that for many people that was like, what's the big deal? You know, especially you have people who are actively consuming pornography, that was nothing to them. And that is how wickedness is normalized, that it's put in your face so repeatedly so that we become desensitized to it. And so that's what's happening. And listen, we can say what the world does, but it's in our churches. It's in our churches. So, but I agree that the time is now to stand up and say something. All right, we go next to Iowa on the phone lines, where Marty is on the line calling from Iowa. Marty, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Mr. Hamilton, I'm so glad you're back. You've been missing. It's great to hear your voice again. What we did, we had a big old Super Bowl party, and as soon as the last second of the first half started, we flipped over and watched America's Funniest Home Videos and had a blast for 20 minutes and then went back to the game.
Well, good for you, Marty. Good for you. I'm glad you were able to prepare yourself in that way. And folks, it's not about having some type of, you know, prudish moralism. The reason why, I'm just going to be frank with you, the reason why I don't want to watch this stuff is because I don't want to consume this smut. It's not because I'm trying to, you know, force somebody else not to. I'm telling my boys how we should training my boys how women should be treated, how women should be viewed. Well, guess what? They're going to see what daddy's watching. This isn't rocket science. This isn't rocket science at all. You know, but the stuff continues to happen because we're in a society where we the people get to vote with our actions. And they keep putting out what we're consuming. We'll go back to the phone lines and to Texas, where Will is on the line. Will, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abe. Let me share something with you. I watched the pregame yesterday for all those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And outside Jennifer Lopez's bus was her fiance, Alex Rodriguez. And they said, well, you know what the show's going to be? He said, no, I can just tell you one thing. She told me that it would be family friendly. It wasn't.
Not in the least bit. So what does that tell you? That either A-Rod, steroids, I'm sorry, then I just had a little, some leftover bug from India, you know. steroids. Either A-Rod was lying or he's operating on a new definition for family friendly. I'll let you pick which one you go with in the era of drag queen story hours for children. You pick which one you want to go with. We'll go next to Mississippi, where I believe it's Rebby who's on the phone. Rebby, is that your name?
My name is Rebby.
Rebby. Rebby, I'm yes. Sorry for mispronouncing your
That's
name.
Okay. Everybody butchers it.
Well, I won't butcher it again, Rebby.
Okay.
Welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to say, Abraham, is the way my church handles it is we have a Super Bowl party every year, and at halftime we automatically cut the TV off and we do our own halftime, which is much cleaner, much family friendly, for real family friendly, not A-Rod family friendly. But we also invite as many people as we can, and they know we're not going to watch that. But after the, you know, the deal with Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson,
yeah,
we no longer allow it at all in our church, and I think we need to be that way in our homes. I watched the Super Bowl and I did not watch the halftime, but I had my sister, a couple of my daughters call me and say that they were promoting strong female values and commercials. And my sister said, and my daughter said, is that strong female values?
Well said, Rebby. Is that strong female values? That was an idea, folks. Rebby made a suggestion. Do you think it's good? Will you use it? Thank you for listening to the program. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.